Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
That's Not Gunna Productions podcast.
Lady Mouth. Oh my god, it's like totally Lady Mouth.
Hey, ladies. Hi.
Hey, ladies.
This is Allie's second episode. If you want to hear how we met, you'll have to wait till I air the first, which will be after this
one. Yeah, enjoy the suspense.
We are talking about weight loss surgery today. Allie and I have both gotten it. Me in 2011, I got the duodenal switch. And Allie, what did you get and what year?
Yeah, in 2009, I got the lap band because that was the big new hot thing then. Very not now, but that's what this talk is about.
Yeah, and in the forums, they used to nickname it the crap band. And
now I've come to know it as that.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard about all that. Guys, we're going to, you know, if this is going to disgust you because I'm not saying it's going to disgust you, but yeah, we're getting really real.
We're being honest about our bodies, like internally right now, about what that's going to be.
So yeah, we're going to tell you the good, the bad, and the ugly about weight loss surgery.
Yeah.
So yeah, the crap band, from what I heard, it fills you up with saline like once a month or something.
And right.
It makes a gap in your stomach.
Like so that. I'll do the quick. You want me? I'll explain.
It's like a Rube Goldberg machine or something.
So what it is. Right. Yeah. So what it is it's like a belt on the top of your stomach, and inside that silicone belt is a balloon that's filled with saline solution attached to a tube to a port that's sewn into the side of your stomach on the inside.
Jesus Christ.
You push on this part of my stomach hard enough, you could feel it. It does creep out my husband. Sometimes it creeps me out because sometimes I forget I have a like an instrument inside me.
Yeah.
And so the purpose of the lap band was to inflate and deflate the balloon that's at the top of your stomach that would regulate your food intake to help you feel fuller quicker, to help you not eat as much. And this was an ingenious idea that was replacing a lot of the gastric bypass surgeries. And it was the new big thing then. And it worked until it didn't. And then they discovered the problems within. So you would go and see your doctor every month or so and get weighed and see how you're doing. And he or she would through a needle into the port, into your stomach, expel or add saline solution to tighten or loosen, depending on how you were doing. You need to lose more. You're having trouble with your maybe acid reflux or eating or swallowing. They will take a little out and we adjust. And they always, you know, they have your chart of how many cc's of juice you have in your band. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. So that's the premise of the lap band. So nothing got cut or removed. They just put it. It's a device that got put on your stomach.
So
yeah.
Why did it stop? What makes it stop working?
So as I did lose weight, and I can go back to more of the origin stories of this.
Lost weight.
Yeah. So I was about, probably about close to 300 pounds
before I got
300. It. And I'm 5'1".
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So this is like a little, you know, picture.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was probably like 290 something at surgery, or I might have lost like 3 pounds of freak out. I'm having surgery weight. But it was
right
there. Did
you have to do a liquid diet?
No, that was the weird thing. A lot of people ask that. I didn't have to do the liquid diet before, but everything that started after. I threw out those, you know, that time, probably 60 pounds total is what I lost. Okay. But that's significant on me for being a petite in size human being. Now, I was always a curvy girl. You know, I'm Scottish, Italian, Sicilian. So there was always something. I was thin. I didn't grow up overweight. And that's the part that's a little stressful, because I know a lot of people battle with that, which is even harder. It's like, I had to fight genetics. That sucks. There was like an uncle in my family who was overweight, and my granddad, who was like a skinny guy, gained a lot of weight when he got older because he loved eating. That was like the one thing we had in common, right? But for the most part, my family was a thin, fit family. My father is a phys ed teacher, so fitness was his lifestyle. And I know that's where a lot of the battle of me and him and my situation within myself come from. So, and where we can touch on when we go more into the how I got to where I got and the emotional stuff.
Yeah.
So even though I didn't grow up as a big girl, I always thought I was fat and ugly, because I definitely wasn't as thin as everyone who was technically traditionally beautiful, traditionally popular, those girls. So I had my body dysmorphia head, because if I look back at my high school pictures, I'd love to be fat Allison in high school, which is like a size 12, not fat, you know?
Oh my God.
But I was like, I'm so fat, I'm so ugly. And it was constantly in my head forever, which is a shame, but here we are. In college, after years of always being hungry, and definitely I was an overeater and emotional eater. We can get into that more. In college is when I actually really started to gain weight, because now I had the freedom to live how I wanted and do whatever I wanted. And I was definitely the most emotional and crazy I had ever been. So food was the thing that entered into my life even more, to be like, your comfort, your joy, your happiness. And I even found, funny enough, the people, like, you know, of the similar ideas as you kind of find each other. So I even found like my comfort eating friends. And you're living an unhealthy lifestyle in college anyway, where you're staying up till midnight and you're like, oh, it's dinner time, let's get Chinese. So you're eating weird things at weird times. You're eating the worst you've ever eaten. There's no health, you know? I did not eat any health in college, ever. And that's when I really started to really gain weight. You know, it was always maybe a little battle, because I was a curvy person. Not that it was bad, but I always felt like, you know, there was never a very thin Allison. Mm-hmm. I used to play sports, and maybe that kind of helped it through high school, because I was like, I did eat a lot. I always had this hunger. I was always hungry, starving. I want to eat. So in college is when it really hit. And then after college is when everything got put on. And I was, you know, I guess a size like 22, 24, like I said, it got to almost 300. And I'd see different doctors, and every doctor I'd see, even if it wasn't for weight loss, would be like, do you ever think of surgery? And I started to just, you know, you feel crappy coming from the doctor's office. It's like, I want to go get my ear, nose, and throat checked, and the doctor was telling me how fat I am, I should have surgery. And what? There were times, there was this one doctor, someone sent me to this ENT because I was having a lot of sinus problems. So I had bad allergies. Old white guy, usually not a fan of them.
I left my older white guy to go to a younger white guy doctor, because older white guy was judging me for fucking smoking. I'm like, dude, girl, get in my shoes and then tell me you don't need those.
It's like, I need something. Exactly. He was talking about even maybe like sinus surgery or something, because it was bad. And then he started to say, but I couldn't even do surgery on you. You're so big, you'd probably die from the anesthesia, because your neck would collapse on itself. And then he went on this like 20-minute tirade of how fat I was,
my God,
and what I should eat. And he's like, you shouldn't have like snacks. Do you eat snacks? And I'm just sitting like eyes big, dumbfounded, like the hell is happening? He's like, you know, if you have chicken, don't eat the whole piece, just eat a half piece. And he was like going and going and going. And it was like attacking. And he's like, okay, here's a prescription. See you later. I left his office with tears in my eyes, totally crying. I had to go to work afterwards. It was like a pre-work thing. I even wrote a letter to my medical insurance people to say this doctor was like verbally abusive and hurtful.
Good.
like a,
Holy shit, he's old,
so he's probably dead now, but whatever. just so, but that's the kind of thing that would hit me. I started to fear going to the doctor. Most of my doctor's visits were for sinus infections and allergy related things, because that's where my problems were always. Because I was like, no matter what doctor I go to, they're going to be like, do you ever want to get weight loss surgery though? Because you're, you know, you're so fat. And I didn't even want to.
Did they actually call you fat?
Overweight, you know.
Yeah, I am.
I was
too.
Like morbidly obese. Yes, from clinically, that's what I was. From the chart on the wall, that's what I was. You know.
Oh yeah.
But to just when they would say it so matter of fact, like it wouldn't affect you mentally at all, and then I was against it, and I was nervous. But having so much of my chunk of my life being like, I tried pills, I tried Weight Watchers, I try A, B, C, and D. I'm going to exercise classes again. I'm going to the gym. I kind of get to a place and then I fall back. I get there and I fall back. And I came to a conclusion like a year before this. Okay, let's talk to someone. I need help. And I was type 2 diabetic. I don't want this. My heart, my liver, my everything is good. But the longer you wait with it, it's not going to be good. I don't want to develop more problems. That's scary. I don't want joint problems, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we did find a really great surgeon. He was a sweet younger guy, like a bariatric dude. Really cool. I still have positive feelings about him, even though this didn't go the way it was supposed to go.
Well, yeah.
Because he didn't know, you know, because at this time in 2009, they were like, we don't do the bypass a lot because it's so invasive and it's really extreme. But this lap band we've been doing, it's been
that
successful. It's our thing.
Yeah.
They're like, this is the
back
one.
In the day when they said it's so invasive, it's like, why make a tool to help somebody reconstruct their body?
Yeah.
You know, that obviously you've had all, you know, some people, not only did I have gestational diabetes and I didn't want real diabetes.
Oh gosh, yeah.
I knew that I would never lose weight unless I had forced discipline after the 30 years I tried thinking I was fat my whole life, you know?
See, here we go. This like similar story we have. So,
you finish and then I'll.
No, that's okay. So got it. And it was successful for a while. Like I said, I lost close to probably 60 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even lose 100. They definitely wanted me to lose 100. I was supposed to have. And even though I would go and get it adjusted, my doctor would still be like, you're losing, but it's not fast enough. And I'd be like, but I'm okay this way. Because I wanted, it was the way food is with me and maybe it was for you. It was such a lifestyle thing. I was there to make changes, but if it was going to be so extreme, there was parts that were stressful and unnerving to be like, I'm at this party, but I can't eat. My friend wants to go to dinner with me, but I can't. Those things were tough, but I was able to deal with it. And then seeing the weight loss happen, it kept me more focused to be like, I'm keeping this eating good. I'm making the healthy choices. Now I'm exercising more because I see progress. But I definitely got wrapped up in the progress because I was weighing myself every week and I was being obsessive. And if I didn't see the numbers go down, I would freak out, stuff like that. I think we should get into you. I know I've talked so much, but the main reason why it started to go backwards. The main reason why it started to go backwards was exactly the reason what you said, that what gets cut out, that hormone, and makes you feel hunger.
It's a gland.
The gland.
Yeah, it makes you emotionally feel hunger.
Yep. They realized that after me and let's pretty much the medical community says pretty much every lap band patient because they stopped doing it. They realized that the ghrelin gland is the thing that kept screwing us up because we would still feel like a big amount of hunger. And even if we couldn't get, and that was true. And there were things that I couldn't eat or still can't eat to get down because they get stuck and I have problems. We'll get into the problem section later. But
yeah,
I would still be hungry. And then if I couldn't eat that, there are still things when you have the lap band that you can eat that don't get stuck. So you can be like, almost you're still binging, even though you have the band. And the things that go through are usually a high fat content, like a cheese or a cracker,
yep,
or, you know, or ice cream, like something that's not going to get stuck. And you're like, I'm so hungry, I couldn't eat my salad with my lean steak on it because it kept getting stuck. But I could eat all these cheese and crackers because I'm starving. Well, guess what has more calories? The thing, yeah, I can eat. The thing that's not, exactly, going to make me throw up. What the hell? And so they unfortunately like were like, oh, our bad. So this happened to everyone. Well, we just do the sleeve now. And that's, we'll go into more stuff, but that's where I'm at, is before all the pandemic and everything happened, they're like, all right, we're going to take that out, get the sleeve, let's go. But I had another surgery I had to do that I chose before that one. And then, yeah, obviously we didn't know this was happening. Well,
that was more important. That also, I mean, that'll also make, your revision,
exactly,
a lot easier, because after I got my DS, they were all about protecting your gallbladder.
Right. And this is another reason why I wanted to do this with you, is because I've wanted to talk to you about your surgery.
Oh, my gallbladder. Yeah.
You know, or about for your weight loss surgery, because it looks like that's what I'll in the future get, you know, if I still can't do this on my own, but everybody just rather take the band out because I do have issues with
it. That band out. Yeah.
I got to where I am in a nutshell.
That is a big ass nutshell, girl.
I know, mama. How'd I get in this crazy nutshell?
I know, right? It's not even tasty.
No. And you know what's so funny? I remember when you were about to get your surgery because you called me.
I did.
I had a voice message from you. I was in Las Vegas, mm-hmm, going from Las Vegas to Mexico for work. I was leaving a friend's wedding in Las Vegas to go to a work conference in Cancun. And I was in the Las Vegas airport at midnight, and I had a voicemail from you.
Aww.
And you were telling me about how you decided to get this surgery. And I think you said, I know you had one, but I'm going to get this. And I didn't even know what surgery you're having. I was like, I've never heard of that. Whoa. And you're like, I'm going to do it. And you're just, you know, I couldn't call you back because of the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess I eventually did, but I remember that voicemail because
it was
weird at Vegas, the McCarran Airport, empty at midnight, strange, because there's only a few people on a red eye. And we're all just a bunch of weirdos, and there was nothing open. And I was like, I have a message. And I was like, I have a voicemail.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for that. I don't remember that.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember every voicemail I've given.
It was at a very strange time. It was like a weird moment. I was like, oh, wow, good for her. I don't know what that surgery is. And then, yeah, so go ahead.
Oh my God. All right. So, all right. Well, I'll start at the middle then first, I guess, because I don't want to unwrap the past just yet.
That's it. Yeah, exactly. I hear you.
We do have similar stories. So when I prepared like a motherfucker for the surgery, I went to my consultant at my local hospital. There's a big bariatric center there with two doctors, Dr. B and Dr. G.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. B does a consult. It's a group of us, and they tell us what to expect. You know, here's the four surgeries they do at this hospital. And I am like a research nut. So I was like, I'm going to look. I'm like, I don't want the lap band. I knew it was either going to be the gastric bypass or the duodenal switch.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at the differences, and I went on the online forums, and I got all the tea I could possibly get on all the surgeries to properly decide which one would be best for me. And then, you know, I even asked the death rate
of
the doctors.
That's important.
Oh yeah, I thought of. Yeah, Queen of Death, Persephone. Of course, I would think about. So, how many people die on this?
Yeah,
you know? I'm like, tell me about the murders. Yes. The murders.
Yeah.
So it was 1 in 1,000, and I thought that's not bad odds. I'd rather save my life trying to save my life.
Exactly.
Or, I mean, I'd rather die trying to save my life than not doing anything. I knew I was at the end of my rope. I knew I needed to I know I needed forced discipline. And the duodenal switch, like I said, it's two parts. It's the gastric sleeve where they cut the sac out of your stomach. They removed my appendix because I've never had anything removed ever from me. I mean, not even tonsils.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my body's always been pretty healthy.
Nice.
Yeah, even when I was fat. And I was fat at surgery. I was 330 pounds and I'm 5'10".
Oh, wow. Okay, girl.
And so since I am nine inches taller than you, I have the opposite problem where people are like, you're not fat. You're just tall.
Right. Yeah.
But you don't look that fat.
I'm like, yeah.
You look like 200 pounds. I'm like, no, I'm almost 350 at 5'10". I needed to do something.
Right.
I lost weight while I was pregnant with both pregnancies.
Oh, wow.
Because I was so fat, they said you need to lose weight pregnant. So they put me on a diabetic diet. Gestational diabetes. I had to eat.
Yeah.
So it's kind of practice for the weight loss surgery. All I did was eat meat like all the time when I was pregnant. I lost 10 or 15 pounds when I was on my pregnancy.
Okay.
Yeah. I was a cute, fat, pregnant chick. I never totally hated myself. I hated myself for a panoply of reasons, not just being overweight, but because of my past, from the emotional abuse from it, from, you know, my family or strangers. Even one time in the mall, somebody walked past me and called me a beast,
Jesus Christ.
I know. And I was like, 14, 13.
Whatever. Oh, the worst age to hear.
Yeah, the worst age.
Damn, people are disgusting.
Yeah. And I was the second tallest girl in elementary school.
I've heard it's hard being a tall female.
It is.
When you're young.
I always love being tall. Yeah. I'm the opposite of cliche. I love being tall. I love having curly hair. I don't try to straighten my curls.
Oh, my. Thank you for the love of curly hair. That's another thing I like.
Yeah, but my curls are dying, though. The older I get, it sucks.
I've used a lot. Right now, I need to wash my hair, so it's a good thing.
I just have video a wave thing now.
Yeah.
I have I don't know. I just co-wash now.
I love a pro curl. Because other curly girls I know are like, I take 5 hours every morning. I go, how dare you? How dare you straighten your curls? I was like, why do you hate yourself?
Hell no.
I'm offended.
I am clinging to the curls I still have. I miss my curls. My daughter took all my curls.
She did.
She really did. She sucked them right out. And now, she doesn't even... I'm like, by 14, I was taking proper care of my curls, and she just turned 14 and I just got her a haircut. I'm like, take care of your curls.
Get those products.
I know. She has wet brushes. I taught her to co-wash. I'm like, this is what you got to do so your hair doesn't turn into Bob Marley's dreads.
Exactly.
Sorry. That was a mom rant.
Mom moments with Michelle.
Wait till I have a mom episode. Me and my friend are doing moms of girls.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's going to be scary. Anyway, I never liked being fat. I didn't. Again, I hated myself for many reasons, not just fatness, but I had major body dysmorphia because in my head, I was what I look like now.
Thin, right.
Like a willow tree. That's all I ever wanted to be, was a willow tree.
That's wild. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was huge body dysmorphia on my part. And I've had conversations with, I'm sure you have too, your transgender friends about body dysmorphia, how you both went through similar emotions and stuff. Like, I just don't feel like me.
Right. I understand that.
That's something that you can actually relate to. I mean, obviously you don't choose to be fat.
Exactly.
Other way around.
Yes.
You don't choose to be one gender.
Right.
You can do something about being fat.
Right.
So it doesn't compare in that respect.
But right.
One respect you can relate, the body dysmorphia. I didn't even know. I mean, I always hear that term, but I've never really used it till this interview right now. Like, I hear it all the time and I use it for other people.
As I had been unpacking boxes when we moved and I found my old photos and I really looked through my high school pictures, I started to get pissed at myself. And I was like,
fat, right?
Yeah, I was like, why did that girl hate herself so much?
That's what I was
like. She looks great. I was like, fuck, Allison, what the fuck?
My boyfriend just looked at my, I showed him my junior prom pictures like a month or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you were adorable. I'm like, was I? I don't know. I didn't feel like it. Nobody ever told me I was.
Same. Ed goes, he goes, you didn't have a boyfriend. I go, no one liked me. He's like, how did no one like you? He's like, were you like depressed or weird? I go, no, I'm the same person I am now. I'm fun. I said, no one liked, I had crushes on boys. They didn't like me back. I was like, nobody liked me. And he's like, well, I would have liked you. I'm like, I'm sorry. We didn't meet till now.
Yeah. Jeff said that too.
Yeah.
Like I would have, so I have a lot of exes who have said I would have totally been into you back then.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, I was like, well, bummer.
Because that's kind of annoying too. Monster. Like when dudes say, "Oh, I would have fucked you when you were fat." Oh,
yeah.
Thanks for nothing, motherfucker. Yeah, shut the
bite
fuck
me.
Up. Yeah. Oh, great. You want me to go back?
Fuck yeah.
Off. No, sorry, not guys that are close to me. Obviously,
it's you know, I'm like I had to put the pictures down because I was like, she's not a disgusting monster. Why did I think I was every day?
Adorable. In high school, I had my long Janis Joplin curly mess.
I love that.
Yeah, I was wearing like MC Escher shirts and fucking...
I have to send you a picture.
Wearing Converse.
I have my baby doll dresses.
Oh, my God.
I have my hair in two braids.
See, now you did dresses. Now, I didn't get girly until I was like 18, 19.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, when I started working at Tower Records in 97, and I met my now former best friend.
We'll
call her Pixie because that is actually her nickname. And... Mm-hmm. No, she never let us be Mixie and Pixie.
Well,
I just have to say that.
I say nuts.
That's the one thing I stole back when we were friends, when we weren't friends anymore. I'm like, I'm fucking Mixie, damn it.
Yeah, you can't take this.
She never wanted to be Mixie and Pixie, but I'm like, we're best friends. Why don't you want to do that? So, I mean, while this woman taught me many, many things. We actually stopped being friends after my weight loss surgery.
That's a big thing that I wanted to hear about.
Yeah.
Because the friendships, I noticed friendship things change with me.
Oh, yeah. And then that was rough.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it was like maybe
a
year and a half after. See, like,
was she also big?
I never asked. She'd never admit.
And was she a big girl too?
Yes, she was. I don't want to like talk about her too much, but yes, she was your height, probably a couple inches taller, and she fluctuated as well. Yeah,
right.
And her emotional mindset came from the same one ours did, you know, and, you know, we had a lot of the same shit going on. She was a little more depressed than I was, I would think. She's a bit more angry at the world than I am. I'm
hence her reaction to you. That would make sense.
Yeah. I think it was very tough on both of us. And, you know, we just mutually agreed to never talk again one day. We were on the phone and that was it.
Oh, that's a bummer. But at least you both, you're like, so this isn't working out. At least you both had that moment.
We didn't even say that.
Oh, no.
It was supposed to be her daughter's birthday. And I'm like, fuck. She had called me.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. And said, are you coming to blah, blah, blah's birthday?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say any names. Obviously.
No, of course not.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, no, my parents are here. I can't. And I'm like, she's like, all right. And I'm like, all right. And then we hung up. And then we spoke again. Yeah.
For the best, though. Like,
it was mutually for the best. I wish her nothing but goodwill and happy tidings. Like, she rocks. She's an awesome person at what she does. You know?
Yeah.
But it just, you know, some friendship, we would break up and off, go on and off, you know. We'd
some people aren't
like
meant to be there forever.
Yeah. And I learned a lot. So, you know.
Yeah.
But it was rough, the dynamic afterwards, you know, because I'm sure you know, that thing when you're big, get a bigger, a bigger girl to stand next to you.
Yeah, you look like the thinner one. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I always made her look better by comparison. I'm sure.
Right.
That was part of it.
I know. Like, I probably was like that with people.
Well, see, who may not want to admit
to that.
Yeah. And see, the
I hated when I started to notice, I was like, oh, I'm becoming your fat sidekick. I don't want to do this.
I always felt like
you keep meeting the dudes and I'm just, no. And I like when I would see that, I was like, I got to shut this down right now. I was like, I'm way too funny and engaged. I was like, I'm way too multidimensional to be somebody's like stereotype fat girl sidekick. No. I was like, how dare you?
Yeah.
But I saw that happening before. And then when this happened, it was like a weirdness at times when I lost like a significant amount. They were kind of like, I don't know what to do with you, Allison. I'm like, I'm still me. If that's all you thought of me, then yikes to you.
Exactly. Right. You really like weed out friends with that.
Yeah.
But then dating gets annoying too.
Yeah.
I'm dating in a different state, looking different. And like, I don't know if the pool is different here, but.
The thing that was tough for me was I still wasn't thin enough for most people to be dateable. It was still so, you know, like, I mean, I guess I'd gotten back to an 18-20 where I was at one point and I thought I looked good. I know there was still weight that I had to lose, but with my size and the fact that I'm just naturally curvy, I was like, this is cool. I'm starting to feel, you know, maybe more confident, but there was still so much like, it would go on like, I think I had an OkCupid profile and it was just horrible because I met Ed a different way, not through online dating. Mm-hmm. And there were so many people who wouldn't get back to me, or you would look at profiles, like their description, and they wouldn't say it, but they'd be like, no fat girls. And I was like, oh, I'm still considered.
Oh, yeah. And I was like, I remember that.
Yeah. Like, all right, dudes, thanks.
People are obsessed with the physical stuff and grow up thinking, you know, getting tortured for being like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So I had a lot of that shit.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Should we talk about that stuff? No.
Yeah.
You want to talk about the side effects since you burped? Because I have issues.
Oh, yeah. All right. So water makes me burp and I drink water all day. Oh, let me talk about like first out of surgery. Yeah. I like how we're touching a little bit on everything, by the way.
Yeah.
We started like talking all the dense shit. You know, I like that we're interviewing each other for this because I'm like, there's so much shit in my head.
That is because there's stuff I want to know. Where I still hadn't gotten to be like, I need to sit down with Michelle and learn about it if I'm going to have this next surgery. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, so my death, I would check the death stats. I would just for that hospital, wherever you decide to go.
That makes sense.
Person who died at my hospital, he died from complications afterwards that were unrelated to the surgery, apparently. That's what they said. I'm like,
whatever. The good thing about me is I'm internally, besides being diabetic, it's because of the weight, everything else is like firing on all cylinders. So I'm lucky and I heal quick.
Yeah,
I have like good like mutant like Wolverine healing properties.
So
I'm a fast healer. Are you? So yeah.
Well, so remember I have when that. I got that bee sting and I got my first bee sting ever.
You stepped on a bee this year? It was like last week or a few days ago.
It was last week. It healed like 3 hours later.
See?
Yeah. It's the skin on the bottom of your foot, so it grows faster. But I swear, I could fucking see the skin, you know, it's forming. Like, like some sci-fi. So I've never had my tonsils out, my appendix out. I've never broken a limb, you know.
Yeah, never breaking a limb. Same here.
Oh, yay, breaking a limb club.
Before the surgery, all I'd ever had was two wisdom teeth out.
Yeah, so I've had wisdom teeth out.
I was freaking out just before that. I was super nervous, but I've got one for you. Hold on. Okay. There you go.
Oh, that's good. No, it's just again, I want to talk about right now.
I have a bad side effect of being very gassy.
Really?
That is a huge thing that came with this.
So I absorb 20% of everything I eat except sugar.
Oh, so right. So if you have really too much sugar, do you get like super sick?
Oh, yeah. So I don't eat sugar, like, because I don't want to poop bright orange.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Is that what happens?
That's what sugar processes into your body. Bright orange.
Oh my God.
And it's,
is it like the first time you saw that? You're like, I think I just had an alien baby.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, okay. And so no sugar, and it smells, it's putrid. It's disgusting.
Wow.
Yeah. So
it's like if someone was like, happy birthday, here's a cupcake, you're like, that's going to kill me. Or do you take a bite and you're like, all right.
No, a cupcake is fine.
Okay, but it was like if you went like bonkers one day.
And certain kinds of sugar, you know, white refined crap sugar.
The bad. Like,
No, yeah. Like I can't, like I can eat sugar, but I have to, you know, it's just kind of something I feel now. Like I know what's good sugar and.
Right. Exactly.
But, you know, and I don't spend my all day eating sugar. I mean, pre weight loss surgery, I would live on.
Were you a sugar? Were you a sweet person? I was still always a savory person.
Oh no. Give me sweets.
I just wanted all the cheese and I wanted just all the bread and cheese.
Well, yeah,
and
I
pasta
lived
that could like come to me and I could put in my mouth.
Well, think about we're both
without
from the
it
East
like
Coast.
Coming out my ears.
Yeah.
And again, and being,
I mean,
yeah, growing
I
up
grew
with
up next to the best bagel place
our cuisine.
In the world.
Exactly.
All I got was chicken cutlets on bagels with mozzarella cheese, three times a day. You know,
my dad's gravy is one of the best. Mine, I'd say second. So when it was like pasta time, I could put almost three bowls away.
You're from, is it a Jersey thing?
Here's a gravy thing. And this is what Ron Ferrer says.
Sauce, God damn it.
It's gravy if there's meat in it. So
why? That's
because
weird.
Gravy is meat
the
and then
sock,
there's like
I
sauce
it.
If it doesn't.
Yeah.
So that's what my dad always said. And then I make mine with sausage, meatballs, and pork ribs. So then I say gravy too.
Oh, damn.
But if I did sauce without it, marinara, if I just did straight up that, then yeah, sauce. And that's what Ron says. That's what Josephine said. So I'm going with the Ferreras.
Yeah.
On my
no, website. I did it. Everyone has their own.
But that's the explanation. Yeah. So, I mean, and that was the thing with my parents. They could see how much I could eat. And I know it was their way to try and help me, but they food policed a lot. And it backfired because guess who used to hide food all over her house?
Yep.
And secret eat.
I mean, I was a latchkey kid.
Same.
I would go to the deli right after school and eat everything while the cartoons were on before they came home.
Oh, yeah. I would eat the house down before because they were both school teachers, but I would get home before
them.
Yeah,
my mom was a teacher and then my dad worked in Manhattan. So
yeah,
the train.
Do you want to know my favorite snack?
Okay. Yeah. What?
I know I said I wasn't into that sweets, but if there's a chocolate peanut butter combo, that's my thing.
Oh, yeah.
Two pieces of Mayer's white Italian bread, no seeds, peanut butter and chocolate chips. So it was a peanut butter and chocolate chip sandwich.
That's awesome. You know what I used to do at Roy Rogers and McDonald's in the 80s and shit?
Yes.
What? I would make my babysitter take me to first of all, I fucking love Roy Rogers.
I miss Roy Rogers.
Oh, my
Michelle,
God. The 80s and
you
the 90s.
Don't even. Roy Rogers
Dude.
Was the best.
Their
These
bacon
kids don't
cheeseburgers
know.
Were the best.
I love
Roy Rogers.
Fried chicken as a kid.
Oh my God.
When we
and everything the, about Roy Rogers.
Those roast beef sandwiches where you could put all the extra good times.
Yeah, guys, we
fall.
Ate so well in the 80s and
so
90s.
Well.
Holy shit.
That's so funny. Because,
no wonder why we were fat.
Yeah. Well, my parents, there was a lot of banned food in my house because of my phys ed
my
teacher father.
I never bought frozen food at all.
We,
I never got that shit.
No potato chips, no candy, no cookies, but pretzels and corn chips were okay. And the ice cream was light ice cream. So there was like there were kind of concessions, but I would go over other people's houses and snack and eat their house down. Cause I'd be like at a friend, I had a friend here. Let's be totally honest. You want to hear this?
Yeah. I didn't tell you about what I got at Roy Rogers yet. Though.
Oh my God. Tell me Roy Rogers.
We're going to keep doing this. Roy Rogers, I made my babysitter. I would take chicken nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
French fries and put them in a burger and roll it in a ball and eat it like that when I was 6 years old.
That's
how
hardcore.
Fat I ate. Yeah.
That's hardcore.
I was eating fat at a young age.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the 80s. Who cared?
I know. That stuff was everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's my little moment. There was a neighbor that was right next to us who I used to play with. She was a lot younger than me. Mm-hmm. But I'd always say, Christina, let's go to your house. Because her parents bought Entenmann's chocolate-covered donuts, where my parents wouldn't.
And then when we get
to her house, I said, can we have a snack?
Because
I wanted to eat the donuts. Because I wasn't allowed to have them in my house.
But I found a way. I'll tell you one thing about the DS.
That's like a drug addict.
I love the chocolate-covered donuts. They are the best.
I still like them. I know. They have to be,
baked fried donut with chocolate on it. Oh, my God. They are the best. Those do not work well with my stomach.
I bet they do a number on you, poor thing, because that's all I can think
of. No, they don't.
So much
if I am going to have that, I will have, like, a bite.
Yeah.
You know? And then... Or I'll have a half and then I'll have the other half like the next day. No, I will seriously split a donut.
That's because it'll like do a number on you.
Yeah. And this way, but I don't actually even buy the donuts anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't like my sweet thing right now is I get granola bars with dark chocolate and like
those
cherry.
Are fun. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because it's. Getting some roughage in and dark chocolate is totally cool. You know,
that's good. That's good to know because that's only the only chocolate I like.
Me too.
And I go super dark.
Milk chocolate is too sweet. Go super dark. Here's the other thing I realized from, all right. So I trained my body for a year and a half to lose how to work with the tool that I got surgery for.
Right.
So my stomach can only fit 4 to 8 ounces in it. The other half of the DS after cutting the sac off and doing the whole gastric sleeve is reorganizing your internal organs.
Wild.
So it makes it the malabsorptive effect. So I only absorb 20% of everything except sugar, which I absorb 100. That's what it was last time.
Okay.
You know, that's what. I mean, I was part of the research I did, and I don't go on the forums anymore. I know what I'm doing now. You know, it's been almost 10 years. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's 9 years actually this September.
Mm-hmm.
So I essentially trained my body. Like, it's like when you are fat, you know how you're supposed to eat, but doing it is another thing. I knew that in order to train my body to work properly, it's just give it a little bit every 2 hours, you know, make that metabolism work. It's like a fireplace. You put a big log on it to burn fast. No, you put twigs.
Right.
So it's essentially, you know, the fireplace of my body. You know, with weight loss surgery, you have to eat very protein heavy because the absorptive, you know, and high fat foods work, but healthy fats, like I love avocado.
Whole fats, baby. God. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do tuna and mayo a lot with chickpeas in it, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's really not, your palate changes after like things. You can tell what the one thing I could tell is how much Americans eat and how fucking salty or sweet their food is.
Yeah. That's
and I'm not trying to talk about them like I'm not one, but
I know, but that, but noticing that means
step back from that shit.
Yeah. And going back to be like used to do stuff and you're like, whoa.
Yeah. Now I lightly season things, you know?
Right.
Like I could taste now. You could smell too with surgery.
Mm.
I mean, I still smoke, so my taste, my palate isn't as refined, but
I got you.
you shouldn't smoke on it either. Guys, don't smoke if you have weight loss surgery.
I know they say that. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not supposed to. And you can hear like I'm a 42-year-old woman with that deep voice, you know, thing.
It's good for radio.
Is it? Okay, cool. Yay. Crackle, crackle.
I know.
And they say don't drink either. And it's usually not a good idea. You don't want to get your acid all acidy. I don't really drink anymore. I used to drink like a motherfucker.
I had a hard time drinking with the band and I get drunk quicker.
So quick now.
And it's like nuts.
But now you can't even do carbonated. I quit the soda at weight loss surgery. and I never look back. Soda is just liquid crap sugar.
Yeah.
It's like liquid white sugar. I'm like, that's disgusting.
That's the one thing at least
it
I
just
had.
Makes me physically ill now I to know. Think of soda. But like if I, you know, once in a while I'll have a cocktail, you know, like once a month or every other month. I haven't had a cocktail in like a half a year, to be honest, before
I was
quarantine.
I was never a huge drinker, but now... I can't even, beer is super hard for me because there was a lot of stuff in alcohol.
Anything is hard.
Like, gets, like, it makes my stomach feel like it's turny because it's too heavy.
Yeah, my stomach's so sensitive now.
I was never a soda drinker. That's one thing I can say. As a kid, I never liked soda. All my weight came from eating. Good. It was never like liquid
all
weight.
All my weight came from soda.
Yeah, I wasn't a soda girl.
Yeah. And my body, like you said,
but everything else.
My mom would always say, you just see food and you gain weight. I'm like, thanks, Mom.
That's how I felt. That was part of that was something that was said to me, too. It was almost like it was so easy for it to like snap on. And I have aunts and uncles. I have aunts who are thin. My two cousins are like gorgeous, beautiful models with perfect bodies who never had a problem. And then here comes like Italian looking Allison, you know, like, help me. Yeah.
Did the boys ever walk behind you in school and go boom baba boom baba?
No, but I would have my bra snapped, which I hated. Yeah, thanks.
I didn't get my bra snapped.
Yeah, so abusive and gross.
I know, right? Whatever.
Yeah.
I kind of went past all that. That might be, you know, like the difference between me and the ex-friend, you know, they were Taurus, like someone here, Allie. But you're a positive Taurus. Yeah, but they,
I know.
You know, it was a lot of anger and grudges with that person, you know.
I had that too. Mm-hmm. I had to work to, with the grudges, I always had my silliness, but I learned as I got older to stop holding grudges and let things go because I saw it affecting me. And it's like a more of a metaphysical, but that even translates into like weight and stuff too. It's like, what are you holding?
Well, the one lesson the first lesson I learned after losing 180 pounds.
I'm
160 now. I've been 160 for 9 years.
That's amazing.
I haven't been 160 since I was 15.
Shit.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
So that was kind of my, I lost a whole other me.
That's another person.
I don't even give a shit what size I am in. I'm like, oh, pretty. You know, I don't, it's so nice to have that relief from that old mindset. My first lesson was I can love food, but it doesn't love me back.
Yeah.
And when I learned that, my whole life turned around, you know, I was like, oh shit. Like, have to like, you know, eat like it's my last meal ever all the time.
Yeah. I had a good, you know, therapist for a bit. And she said something that I think of, not that I always practice it, but I try. And she says that whatever you want is still going to be there. So if you want potato chips or something, you don't have to eat it like it's all of it. Like it's the last time you're going to have a chip.
Yeah.
It's going to still be there in a week. So have a few, put it back. You're fine.
I will take the way I eat now. So I learned a lot of portion control. Cause
that's
not
the biggest.
Again, back to our, you know, we're grandkids of depression era. So
let's make food last, guys. It's expensive.
Exactly. Don't fucking waste food. But no, when I realized what portion control is, I don't need to make that much food anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I just make a half portion of what I used to make. And then I eat something. And then 2 hours later, I eat for like a bit. And then I actually have to like push the food aside and hold it for like an hour later or whatever. I call it a food break.
You just feel full?
You just feel sated.
Yeah.
I don't feel emotionally hungry anymore. And
that is the biggest thing
with
me. Here's our difference right here.
I know that my body just need input, you know, and that's it.
The emotional hunger came back and is so real for me. And emotional eating was always, emotional eating from day one was always my issue. And that's what's so crazy is because, you know, people can point to a bunch of different things and say, Allison, you're fat because of this, this, and this. And I'm like, I was born hungry, but there was an emotion always attached to it.
Exactly.
So I'm happy I'm eating. I'm sad I'm eating. I'm angry I'm eating. I'm happy for that person I'm eating. I'm at this party. I'm at this thing.
Food just made me happy. I just wanted to keep being happy because everything else was shit.
It was the thing that was always comfort and emotion. And then,
and I'm a Cancer. We're all about comfort.
Yeah.
Like comfort food is the thing I cook the best. Yeah. Well, that's why we're so good together.
Exactly.
Like, Cancers and Tauruses go together like peas and carrots.
Seriously.
And mashed potatoes.
And fried chicken. That's
tasteful. And mac and cheese. Give me all the fucking comfort food.
Hello. Exactly.
Yeah. Or, I used to get your eyes are bigger than your stomach. I'm like, yep. I hated that.
My parents would say, and I know they were being helpful because they're not, you know, nefarious people.
Yeah.
They'd be like, aren't you full? You already had. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And they'd be like, you already had that, but you already ate that. You still want more? And that would be the thing. But then I would take it as a combative measure. And I'd be like, no, I want it. And that's where I would either eat it or sneak it later.
Yeah,
that's
it's really hard to talk to it. Take it from me now. It is extremely hard to talk to a teenage daughter.
I can't imagine.
About any fucking thing. I feel
they
so.
Try.
My mom just laughs at me now.
Oh, she watches you and your kid. And she's like, she's like, how do you like that?
Oh, yeah. Total full circle.
Oh, geez.
I'm like, God damn. And my oldest daughter, she's the best kid in the fucking world.
Yeah.
There's nothing like I ever complained to her about except cleaning her shit.
Right.
You know, so it's trying to talk to her about emotions and she's mm-hmm. like, ew, no, go away.
It's just, Mom,
I'm,
like,
I'm just not going to talk to her until she turns 18.
Yeah. Then she can have the emotion chat.
Yeah. Right. Oh, my God. Try saying anything. If I talk about brushing her hair, she'll just take it as a criticism.
Yeah, I internalized
14.
It. Yeah. And that's where I would hide food, sneak food, do whatever I wanted. Cause I was
my mom would
you can't tell
insult
me.
And be hypercritical of me about being fat. And she would also take me to fat meetings when I was a teenager.
Really?
Yeah.
It's weird.
Constantly.
That's tough.
Constant.
I
never heard the end of it. I just got beat up for years.
Because
and not just by her.
Right.
And it's not something I hold, it's a long water under the bridge. You know?
Same thing it's my dad and I, because he comes from the physical health education.
Yeah.
You're living with a phys ed teacher. So if you, and he wasn't the cliche phys ed teacher where he was like distant and cold and like a, you know, like a drill sergeant, because that's not my father.
No.
But there's always going to be the health and the physical perspective. And he's like, well, let's go for a walk. Are you sure you're hungry? You had lunch or didn't you have enough? But all that stuff he didn't realize. And he would sometimes say things that weren't that savory about looking or whatever. And I think he'd be the first to admit that he took wrong turns and that sometimes it was hurtful. But I know he was trying to if he saw the possibility, because his brother was a big guy, so it was like it's genetically in there, even though my dad was like Captain Fitness or knew, you know, but just because of my body type I was predisposed. But to try to like guide and push me into that for him to do it never worked, because I took it as fully a battle. And I was like, no, you can't tell me, you can't make me, or again, why don't you love me the way I am? You're trying to change me. So all of that ended up being negative to me. And it was where he was seeing it through the eyes of like, I'm going to help my kid. And I was like, no, screw you. How dare you? And then this happened, you know what I mean? And then I got to where I was, and he and I have worked through that. And we've actually talked about it, which is like a big thing.
Good.
So the same, but it was tough. And that's part of where my issues all came from.
Food
related and body image related.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I am not one to hold any kind of a grudge, you know.
I mean, I can't. When I learned, I made up
with my, after I turned 18, my parents and I had a much better relationship.
Same.
And it only got better for the next
25
years.
Now we're like friends. They're my
parents are my best friends.
Yeah.
However, Mm-hmm. A couple days ago, they came, right. They visited, and it's been 4 or 5 months, whatever.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, you're too thin. What'd you do? Lose weight? And then they got home later that night. My dad calls, oh, just carb up a little, eat some sweet stuff.
Oh my God. After all those years.
Yeah. I was like, you're like, really, what? You guys? I know. Cause I lost 5 pounds. I'm 160 now. I'm usually 165 actually.
Yeah. Okay.
It's literally, I've never diverged, you know, like go up 1 or 2 pounds, but that's my base.
Like the seasons will change.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm at 160 now. And they just think I look too thin now. I'm like, it's quarantine weight. I lost muscle too, because I'm not massaging.
Right. So I actually am not eating as much as I think most people assumed. Not that I would, or most people assumed people would. Because I realize most of my eating's at work. And I'm eating at work because I'm stressed and angry.
Oh, see, now being a massage therapist is lucky for me, because
you don't have snacks in your.
No, but I don't do more than 2 hours of massage in a row without a break, because I have to pee, I have to eat, I have to take vitamins, and I have to keep my body strong. Like I never had discipline or willpower before weight loss surgery. And that weight loss, the bariatric tools I received through surgery.
Yeah.
Helped me discipline the fuck out of myself. I don't care that it was forced. I needed forced. There was no way I was going to do it myself.
Right.
I tried to go to gyms, you know, boring.
Yeah.
And now I'm really into health and fitness. You know, I'm a massage therapist. I love muscles. I never thought I would have a fucking muscle ever.
Yeah, that's a biggie.
Oh my God. Having muscles is the fucking best.
It is great.
Oh my God. Yeah.
You get stuff done.
Yeah. And I started getting all the tattoo work. I'm like marking my body all pretty. Like, look at my pretties, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I consider all of it me being as the best girly me I could be, you know.
Right.
I fucking love being a girl, and I always wanted to dress like one, and now I can, you know.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I just donated 5 black garbage bags full of clothes that I've bought over the last, you know, 5 years, you know, that shit I bought just because I could fit into it. And I'm like, all right, never wore it. It goes, donate, you know.
That's cool. Off to someone else's fun time.
A little bit of that. That's good that, you know, again, the 90s trained us to thrift shop.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So, you know, I never spent too much on clothes, but I got, you know, you go to a thrift store, you see cute little dresses for $5.
Oh, yeah, that's like fun time. Do it.
Yeah, it's like I don't even have to look at the size. I know I'll fit into it.
That's perfect.
It's fucking awesome. It's a freedom. It's a really big freedom, but... You know, and you know, one thing I stopped doing when I wasn't fat, I stopped validating myself through dudes.
Oh, when I was fat, there you go.
Yeah.
That's huge.
When I was fat, I thought I can never get dudes because I'm fat. So when I get a dude, I was always needy on him.
Right.
And I'm sure a few of my ex-boyfriends on Facebook can attest to that time period. Yeah, needy bitch. Mm-hmm. But, and then when I got thin for myself, and it wasn't just getting thin.
Of course. First
thing after losing the weight was, as I was, you know, I hit the 100 mark, the 140 mark, whatever. The one thing I noticed was, hey, I got rid of my main problem, but I'm still the same asshole. I got to fix that. You know,
that's the biggest thing.
People need to fix their mind as well as, you know, when they get this body surgery, they need to stress getting talk therapy.
This is the biggest thing. And I remember when you had sent me the list of questions, you're like, what's the thing you'd recommend?
Yeah.
This is what I was going to say.
Oh, well, I was going to ask you eventually
you have
when we wrap up.
No, this is the, you brought up and I'm so
happy.
Oh,
okay, good. All right. Yeah.
It's therapy. And that was the biggest thing with my surgery pre and during that I didn't have, that I went to get after, like, some of my weight came back and I'm struggling. I don't have that person now, but I'm looking for someone else. If you're thinking of this or whatever, go get a therapist, because that's where it all starts. It just like you said, Michelle, it all starts here. And I, any good bariatric team should have a therapist. Mine had one who was sporadically there, but not there. It was more of the nutritionist than the doctor. And the therapy piece, I realized through all of this and the surgery backfiring, is that therapy was the biggest thing that should have been there the whole time.
Because mental therapy.
Yeah, just a nutritionist telling me, don't eat pizza, just eat an apple, isn't going to fucking work.
Apples are sugar and carbs. And
apples suck anyway. Yeah. And it's like this skinny nutritionist telling me, and I would have been like,
oh, I had a skinny nutritionist too. Don't you want to eat them?
Even know what it's like? Yeah. Did you even know what it's like inside for me to struggle with what's going on in my head?
I was like, and now fat is okay now. Aren't you a little mad at that? I'm like, what? I would have been a goddess now? Yeah. Fuck you all.
What? I know, it's so funny. Well, that's something
I could have been the next Lizzo. Shit.
She's so awesome.
I fucking love her.
I know. Well, that's something
her with her body pause.
Yeah. Well, that's something for me that I look to. Because here's the other part of it.
You're fucking exquisite. Like, that's another thing. I don't look at people now and think of their bodies. I just look at people as people. Right. And I always kind of have anyway, but.
Yeah. But I know a lot of people go, how much they all get attacked or plus size models or like beauty influencers.
I used to be really jealous of.
Yeah, who get like super attacked for being plus size and being like proud and I'm wearing this and, you know. I follow and look to them because that positivity that they carry that I see, I need regardless still. Like I want to see it. It makes me feel good. I'm never going to go get to my goal and continue to do well if it's all negativity. Some people, negative reinforcement's their thing. It was never my thing.
No.
And it doesn't work. If someone's telling me you're fat, you're ugly, everyone hates you, I don't know how that was supposed to make me lose weight and feel great. It makes you feel like shit. I'm going to eat more and want to curl up in a hole and die. I don't understand that. So anyone being negative and hurtful where they're thinking they're going to help me doesn't. And if you need to be that way to me, you can please cut yourself out of my life right now, you know, to everyone out there, because that's not going to work and never did. It makes it worse. So I seeing like all the models and Lizzo and actresses and singers,
embrace like, their curves. Here I am, I'm gorgeous. I'm fuck about their weight.
Yeah. I follow them on Instagram. I like their pictures. I was like, I want to see all of this because I'm me. Here I am right now still. Okay. Now I'm back to being like, all right, I need more plans and I've got to do something else, but I can't feel like shit while I'm doing it. I need to feel beautiful and awesome while I'm still on my journey, or it's not going to go forward for me.
Yeah.
And that's the way I am.
You know? I felt like shit.
And that's where the therapy comes in too, to be helpful.
Be the tall flower. Right. You know, cause people didn't know I was 5'10" cause when you're fat, you look shorter.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And when I lost all the weight and I sit up straight now,
and then you're just, you're like,
yeah, I'm like a Grecian statue or something. Mm-hmm. People are like, I didn't know you were so tall. I'm like, all my life.
It was always there. Yeah.
Well, I probably could stretch my spine now more.
Right.
Sorry. Oh, no, and not having big boobs is awesome.
Oh, really?
Oh my God, I never wear a bra anymore. It's fucking awesome. I can naturally let my chest muscles be their cells. You know? Not wearing a bra is fucking freedom.
Nice.
Guys, I was a 42 double D before surgery.
That's
now I am a 34 C.
I think I'd have to check.
Yeah.
But I'm past the D's.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. Do you know?
Oh, I'm fine with it.
Oh, I was gonna say,
it's the only part of me that I like.
I love boobs. Oh my God. Well, in my first episode with Steph, with Steph's boobs.
Yeah,
I'm like, don't ever lose your boobs. They're mine. Like, I need to put my head in them and cry and sleep. Big boobs are awesome.
Yeah.
Boobs mean mother, man.
Right.
But having tiny tits, let me tell you, it is the best.
Did you have a new experience in a whole new world?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yes, it is. It is. Oh, my God. It is magic carpet ride.
That's awesome.
No. But on therapy, I had to I did a lot of therapy. That's I suddenly liked myself again. I had to teach myself to like myself.
That's the biggest part of this.
I had to teach myself to love myself. Mm-hmm. You know how hard that was?
I still have my days. You know, I'm a lot better than I used to be, but girl, I'm not gonna lie.
Well, I never stood up for myself in the past. Now I'm like, stand up for myself now.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm way less of a pushover now. Yeah. Only my kids walk all over me now.
I think that's how it's supposed to be, right?
Yeah. I'm cool with that. They can walk over me. I don't let anyone else do it though. And I don't let because I thought I'm nothing, And now I'm like, no, fuck that. I'm awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm awesome and everybody's awesome. Yay.
It's so, so important. And I, as much as I like the first bariatric team I had, I wish that was a part of it. Because I know that was also a part of, that's what's frustrating for me. So where I am
right
now. I had
to go search it for myself, honestly. Yeah. I went through a couple of therapists.
I wish they had that. I wish I realized how important it was to insert it into my life. Even though they didn't have a standard person I should have seen. But that's the most important thing with this right now, because I have a lot of guilt about gaining weight back, and I have a lot of self-blame and a lot of frustration. And that's something that I was even embarrassed once the weight started to come back to go and see my friends. And go to parties and go out in public. I'm like, they're going to see me again. And they're going to be like, what happened to her? I thought she was supposed to be thin. You had surgery. You lost weight. I don't know if they're thinking that. I hope they're not.
No,
I mean, my friends
not.
Love and care about me. But I couldn't. But I had so much anxiety about what's the unspoken truth of Allison? And I've disappointed them because they were expecting thin Allison and she was there and then she's gone. Or I have friends who are overweight who lost weight without surgery and have kept it off and I haven't. So I look like a loser failure to them. And while I'm happy for them, it makes me feel shitty about myself and I want to walk in front of a bus. And I was like, oh yay, you lost 10 more pounds. and then I internalize it as that means you're a failure, Allison, extra failure.
Yeah.
So that's also tough for me because I'm supportive and I'm glad their situation worked for them and I'm still struggling through mine. But it's the embarrassment. My surgery wasn't covered by my medical insurance for my work. Not that I wasn't a candidate, but my work decided to leave surgical and non-surgical weight loss off of our insurance to save money.
Oh.
So at the time, through my job, I wasn't even covered, but my parents took out a loan and made an agreement with a price with my doctor to get it done. So then I had the guilt of I made them waste their money. Because, so that's on there too. So that's why therapy is something I know I need to find again before I start this again.
Yeah.
Because that's all this
I have to go through. Well, there's other things too. Post weight loss surgery. For one, the melted candle effect,
Okay. Tell me about skin,
the apron.
Oh yeah.
The joke is we look like melted candles and you have to be fucking prepared for that. Because I read an article once of this woman who was just so miserable with her weight loss surgery and was blaming the surgery. And I'm like, I didn't read anything in this article where she was culpable for anything she did to herself, Because surgery is a tool. It's not a magic fucking bullet.
Exactly.
Gotta put the work in. You gotta love yourself
enough to be an active participant.
Put the work in. Yeah. And I think a lot of people don't get that. They just, I lost the weight. And then, I can look at my body and look at the loose skin, which in my state at least, plastic surgeons don't consider it. Nobody takes fucking insurance. Let's just
I know
say that.
That's the part that's so that
it's
I think
the
is
most
so unfair.
It's medically necessary.
Yeah.
It was medically necessary because we're fucking morbidly obese, but it's not medically necessary
to help out when
because plastic
that
surgery is such an expensive racket.
Yeah.
It means the plastic surgeons don't get,
Yeah.
Like Why didn't they fucking think of a way to fucking market to bariatric people?
Exactly.
And give us fucking insurance on it.
Mm-hmm. That's what that upsets me about that. I'm just frustrated.
That's so annoying. People go to Mexico to get their skin removed.
Is that a thing?
Yes, it's a
thing. I didn't even know. Well,
people go to Mexico to pay less. I mean, that's insane. I mean, I would consider going to Canada. But no, I mean, I've had it for 9 years. Mm-hmm. What I did is I became a massage therapist because let's face it, I was born one.
And you build up muscle tone.
Yeah, I build up muscle tone. I massage myself with coconut oil and CBD, you know, and I've tightened my own skin over the past 9 years. Is it perfect? Fuck no. But I have no problem with my loose skin. And if you're going to have a problem with your loose skin, you know, I'm sorry. Some of you may have a problem looking at loose skin. Look at people with loose skin or, you know, go to, if you think you're going to have a problem with loose skin, get therapy because you're going to see yourself. So right now.
That's important. The therapy. Yeah.
Yeah. So right now I see myself as I've always seen myself.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I was a kid, I could just look down at myself and go, Hey, that's me. It doesn't matter what size now, but I still see the same person I did at this different size, which is really interesting to me because I realized like I shed the pounds and I shed the emotional forbearance of that. Like I would look at me and when I was, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm babbling.
No, I got you.
But yeah, the stuff, the post-surgery and for, you know, think about this. I take a ton of vitamins a day. We have to take high potency everything. I take 50,000 IUs of D a day. You know,
D's the biggest. It's still for me.
Yeah, D is the biggest. I take 50,000 IUs, which means I get 20% of that. So
is that a prescription then?
No, there is a great website called vitallady.com.
Can you please send it to me or put it in?
Yeah, of course.
Can you link in the show notes?
You could go on Amazon and get it. I'll put Vitallady. She was the big one when I was getting my surgery that supplies to the bariatric people. And
that's cool.
There's like one customer service guy, Don, and he's awesome.
Nice.
And like I order my pills every month or not every month, every couple months. I stocked up for quarantine.
Nice.
There's some other things though, like that fear, like if I'm somewhere foreign, and I don't just mean a foreign country, just unfamiliar territory.
Oh yeah. Let's talk about this stuff.
Yeah. Am I going to be able to get the shit I need? Like I think about travel now and I feel like if I'm going to travel, it's going to be no further than Europe from now on. Like,
yeah.
I'll be in the, you know, I don't need to go to India and Asia anymore. I probably would not be able to eat in those places and or drink water. I'd have to bring, you know what I mean? I know I said I'm not just talking about foreign travel and then I started talking about foreign travel. But like if I'm at someone's house and I'm hanging out, if I'm going to be there for hours, I need my exit plan. I need a bottle of water on me at all times. I need multivitamins on me at all times. God forbid, and like, I have to make sure, hey, are you feeding me or am I going back? Or I go home and cook. I cook a lot. I cook more than I ever have. And
cooking
is just so much better. Yeah, and like cans of tuna are my lifesaver.
Yeah.
You know, put those chickpeas in them and yum.
I like it.
Oh, and pain meds, though. Think about this before you get weight loss surgery.
Oh, go ahead, yeah.
If you've had weight loss surgery, you cannot take sustained release pills.
That's just
absorb them all at one go.
Yeah, let the Advil goodbye.
Yeah.
Ulcer town.
Or
it's
if
bad.
You take, yeah, if you take, you know, a 200 milligram NSAID, with the duodenal switch, you could take NSAIDs, but with a gastric bypass, you can't take NSAIDs.
You can't take NSAIDs with the
band
either.
Okay, sorry.
Bad.
All right. See, I could take NSAIDs.
That was a biggie. I remember the sheet they gave me was like, do not take in like capital letters.
Yeah. You got to think of all this stuff, you know? And, you know, like I said, that former friend never helped me. She would make fun of me. I didn't tell her I was getting...
She made fun after your surgery?
No, she made fun of me before I got it. She's like, I hope you're used to diarrhea. You know, and she would say shit like that to me. She was not helping. I didn't even tell her. I was
self-hatred is where she's coming from.
I think so. Yes. I don't know. 100%. But like, I hid it from her till like a month before. I didn't tell her because I knew she would judge me. Oh, like that was our relationship.
Girl, I'm glad she's not in your life anymore, sis.
I'm glad I'm not in her life either. Yeah. We were bad for each other. I'm sure she's doing great. From what our mutual friends tell us, she is doing great. So, you know,
kudos.
But yeah, it was just, we weren't good for each other.
Yes.
You know, and that's I'm sure, I don't care if she hates me or not. I don't hate her.
It's not right. Exactly.
But that's we kind of fucked each other over.
It's tough. Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough.
So you had, some crazy side effects. My situation that's still very stressful is, even though I've gained weight back, I still have a lot of trouble eating at times, and food will still get stuck. So that's the thing with the lap. I know, I don't think it happens with you. Food getting stuck with a lap band. Do you have that?
Oh no. Yesterday. No. I haven't thrown up since the first 2 years of weight loss surgery. Okay.
Oh,
if you
gosh.
Eat too much, you can throw up. Let me tell you that. So like the first 2 weeks, my mom was watching after me. I wanted mm-hmm. eggs, and she made me 2 scrambled eggs.
Right.
And I took 2 bites and I threw up.
Oh.
So you have to get used to that too. You have to know that you can't stuff a ton of food in your mouth and swallow.
Right.
You have to chew.
Mm-hmm. That's the biggest.
Now you should chew your fucking food.
When I see people eat, and I actually was always a slow eater, but this just made me slower.
Yeah.
When I see people eat fast, I get anxiety, and I'm not even eating fast, but I start to get freaked out for them and just for what it would happen if I was eating that fast. I'm like, oh my God, you're going to, because that's a big thing with the lap band is the slow eating and the chewing. But even with that, or the thing that sometimes happens is, if I'm so hungry and I've like messed up my day, and then I'm like, oh no, it's time to eat. And I start to eat, but I'm trying to be mindful of how I have to eat. Sometimes stuff will get stuck.
Yeah,
and sometimes stuff will get stuck if I'm doing it right. This is the worst part of the lap band. So when food gets stuck with the lap band, it feels like there's a knife in your chest. It's this horrible sharp pain and it won't go down. And water or any, and the people are like, drink water. Does it flush it down? I go, no, everything just gets impacted on it. So it just keeps rising.
Wow.
So if I can't get up and do it myself, as in starting to walk around and move around, or starting to like move the food down through me, like maybe swallowing or burping.
You can massage your esophagus.
Yeah. Then I start to hiccup violently. Really loud, violent hiccups, which are super embarrassing. Ooh. And this has happened in parties and in public and at work and awful places. And then I have to run to the bathroom because pretty soon that food is going to shoot out of me exorcist style.
Oh God.
Like it's like a forceful, almost like I call it like a hairball, like a cat that's like, bah! And you can't stop it from happening. And you better hurry up and get to like a vessel that's going to hold whatever's coming out of you. So there's a lot of anxiety still when I go to a restaurant, go to a friend's house, go to a party, be like, where's the bathroom? I got to make sure I know where it is. I got to see what all the food is. So I'm like, what can I eat? What's going to cause problems? And there's been a lot of embarrassing, awkward times in my life where I had to keep getting up and running to the bathroom, and the people at the party or
sometimes
the situation,
they don't know.
Yeah. Or they don't know why Allison's left the table 5 times. There was this one time at a restaurant with my husband and my in-laws, where we were eating hibachi and that chicken just wasn't working. And I just couldn't, it kept getting stuck. And something was wrong that whole day with me. And I feel like sometimes maybe it gets swollen and I have problems eating certain days. And I kept having to run to the bathroom to throw up my food because it was all getting trapped. And I was like, I wonder if they just think maybe I'm bulimic at this point. And I was like, because Allison just keeps, or she's having like, you know, stomach issues, because I just happened to be, excuse me, get up, go. I try and eat something, one more, excuse me, get up. I had to go like 6 times to the bathroom because I couldn't get my food down.
Wow.
There's stuff like that that's so embarrassing and horrible. And you're in the bathroom and you're just like throwing it up and more of it's coming up because you're being forceful. So more of it's getting stuck as that stuff that went down is now getting stuck again. So now everything you've eaten is gone. So now you're starving because you've just emptied all the food you had, but you can't get any food in. So now you're hungry and you're embarrassed and you're trapped in the bathroom and you're in a social situation. You're like, I don't even know how to explain this to the people who don't even know I've had surgery. Or even if you look at me and I'm fat and you're like, oh, she had lap band surgery, but she's still, that's the part that's frustrating is that I'm still having problems eating and keeping food down sometimes, but I have the weight back.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's not fair.
Well, that's what happens to the gastric bypass people. Cause they have, they don't have a pylorus valve like I do. And it just passes through.
And is that the dumping stuff?
Yeah. The dumping stuff. And if they could just drink milkshakes and beer and. But my stomach will stop me like yesterday. Okay. Yeah. So here's my whole saga of this week. Yes. I feel like first month of weight loss surgery time or something.
You have like
so my parents the other day said, I'm looking too thin. My dad's like, why don't you just carb up a bit? Eat some sweet things. So I fucking yesterday for dinner, I made filet London broil and I made mashed potatoes and mac and cheese. And I'm meat heavy. I have like a scoop of each carb.
Right.
But still, I tried to carb up a little. And then it's like an hour after dinner, me, my co-parent, and my boyfriend were sitting down watching TV. And I started drinking water.
Right.
And I drink a lot of water. I'm constantly peeing, by the way.
Same.
I go to the,
I'm always water.
Yeah. You have to also make sure you never get dehydrated. Apparently, when you're fat, you must have stores of water in that body. I don't remember getting fucking dehydrated ever when I was fat.
It was
fat.
A camel thing, I guess. I didn't even know.
I had to go to the ER twice to get banana bags. In the first 2 years. Yeah.
For being dehydrated. It's
dangerous. If you don't know what you're doing with weight loss surgery, don't fucking get it unless you find out everything.
Yeah.
And that's why I felt I was prepared to do it when I did. Because I read the history of the DS. It started in 1987, by the way. Laparoscopically by the Da Vinci machine for my surgery, which somebody I know helped create.
Yo,
I'm like,
cool.
I'm in good hands. You know,
nice.
Or he did something in the construction of the Da Vinci machine. He works in a prominent New York hospital. Yeah. And I'm like, so I found out everything that could go wrong, everything that could go right. I've known people that have some horrific problems, like some bad problems with the DS. Anyway, so I'm drinking water. Mm-hmm. Suddenly I'm getting nauseous and it's like half hour, 45 minutes after dinner. I don't know, somewhere to that. And I'm like, why am I getting nauseous? And then I took I had to take one of my vitamins and I drank water. And then my body was like, no, bitch, you ate too much.
Wow.
And I had to throw up water. Oh. I threw up water.
It's
because I love water.
Yeah.
I fucking love water.
Me too. I always have. It's very comforting.
I had two bottles this interview so far at this interview, our chat so far.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I need more water. Mm-hmm. Like I'm always dry. It feels.
Yeah.
Not always dry. I don't mean that in the negative. Just like water is awesome.
Yeah. Agreed.
You will really love water after you get weight loss surgery. So I threw up. I hadn't thrown up. I felt like such a rookie. I'm like, really? And, you know, not eating as much sugar makes your farts not smell bad. So,
I don't really
eat sugar too much anymore either.
I get the other thing that really sucks is a lot of like, not a lot, but like acid reflux sometimes.
Yeah.
Or
I don't eat a lot of acidic foods.
There's something with the band that started, it started after I got the band where it would be like, you could feel, it was like when your stomach growls, but it's like in your chest and it's so audible that I know people can hear it. And I was like, oh, I sound like I'm possessed by spirit demon. And it's like a crazy noise. Yeah. And I'm like, sorry, I can't control it.
No, I love my little body gurgles. It's like, And it comes up.
My husband laughs at me.
Air travels through my.
It's talking. I was like, yeah, the monster inside saying stuff.
It's so cute. I love when he talks. I'm like, what's up? Are you hungry, boy?
Hey, bud.
He's like, Timmy down the well?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God. All right. It's been about 2 hours, so I have to eat and pee. See, it's like clockwork. Yeah, and I love being a hobbit with that. I am a hobbit.
Well, it sounds like, I mean, that's the way to go. Right now, because it's not time for surgery, we're going to start doing like keto stuff.
Oh, cool.
More high protein stuff I would had to do anyway, even before this, because it was like if I'm pre-diabetic or diabetic, mm-hmm. protein, vegetable, low carb, no white sugars. I was like, Ed, let's do this and then see where it gets us. And then, you know, if it's time for surgery, when there's surgery time, then take the lap band out. But maybe I'll be in a better place for that or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to stay all positive, girl.
Yeah, you need to get that out, girl.
Yeah, it's just the keeping positive and not being so disappointed with myself, but talking to you about it. And learning more about it means, it does.
Every time I record, I'm like, what the fuck am I saying? Am I saying stupid shit? I'm saying stupid shit, aren't I? So I'm like, I hope I didn't say any stupid shit to her.
I hope
I'm
some just of telling this you helped somebody, or at least they understood the differences.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
What it's like
you
from both sides.
You have to really be committed. I was committed. I didn't want to get diabetes, and I wanted to live to raise my fucking kids.
Right.
I don't think, you know, it wasn't about vanity for me. Everyone that, you know.
It's
that
being healthy because you have stuff to do.
Yeah, I have a lot of shit and do to things. Do. You know, how am I going to chase after kids when I'm, you know, that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
And if I was diabetic, what kind of life would I have had?
I know.
You know, I really like that I feel really pretty, and I understand that I was pretty back then, too.
Realizing
I know
the truth.
That. Yeah. Exactly. I look at pictures of myself back then. I'm like, all right. Yeah. I could see where I was large here. I was actually very large. I wasn't just like, oh, I'm 200 pounds and 5'10. I'm delicious. Right. You know, I was fucking fat, like Michelin tire man fat, you know?
I understand. I know what you mean. And then, like you said, looking at that's kind of where I am now, is feeling good. The good feeling has to run through this as I
keep walking the path. Curves. You have like this beautiful, like, I love your curves. I don't have curves. Oh, the other thing I thought was because I'm half Spanish, I'm like, maybe I'll have like curves when I'm thin. No, right. I got my dad's white plank butt.
You got the white.
And that's okay. Understand. I am a willow tree. I'm cool with that. My hair is the leaves that fall towards the water. You grow towards the water. Cool. I am fine with that. This isn't me.
Yeah.
And I look awesome. So, yeah. See, I'm not trying to be vain. That's the other thing I had to do. I had to be like, don't turn into a cunt. Don't turn into one of these bitches, because I saw them too at the meetings.
Oh,
these bitches who lose all the weight and then they act all superior mean girls to you. I'm like, excuse me?
Oh,
who the fuck
nasty.
Are you?
You're like, you're like, don't go into that world.
But I can wear heels, and that's pretty awesome.
Oh, that's rad.
I fucking love heels. At 5'10", I'm like 6'5".
I was going to say, how does that, hoist you up even more?
Yeah, I've bought like impossible platform heels.
Nice.
It's awesome. Yeah. So like there's all I'm trying to say, guys, with all this stuff we're talking about is there are good things and bad things with success and not successful stories.
Yeah.
I mean,
learn it all and stay on your path. And if you falter, don't fully beat yourself up, because as even my doctor said, well, it's not totally your fault. This failed for everyone. I was like, okay. I know it's still had a part to play in it, but
at least you're not the total reason for failure.
Yeah.
Allie.
And then not the total reason. And there's a bunch of us apparently.
Yeah.
Or everyone who had this done.
Yeah. And
the majority. The majority.
Go on some crap fan sites. I'm sure there's people bitching about it.
I bet there is. But yeah, but yeah, like,
and that's what I did. Yeah. I put myself in the fray. I wanted to know what all these journeys these people were doing. I don't know weight loss surgery now, but I knew it up until 2011.
Yeah.
What women were going through since the 90s, men and women.
I know that if I, you know, I start this again when it's like safe times.
Yeah.
It is going to be going back to the groups and stuff. And then, yeah, well, seeing what it is of the, what this current, the current environment of it is. That's, yeah.
Yeah, I'll go with you and learn it too. You, having a trooper with you, you know, a stormtrooper, rebel, I appreciate that. You can be my gold leader, baby.
Yes, come on. That'd be perfect.
Yay.
No, that is it. It is, and therapy.
Yeah.
Find yourself a therapist if you got, if anyone's out there considering this.
I really totally, what's that word when you support doing something?
Support?
I support doing
your thing.
To yourself. Yeah. I know that sounds a little weird, but no, I looked at myself in a mirror for a year and a half. Like every,
Important. Yeah. Because that's what so many people don't do.
Yeah. Look at yourself in the mirror. I did this every day for almost 2 years.
Self-affirmations?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, no, I had to teach myself to love myself. So remember, guys, start baby steps.
Yeah.
First, I started looking at myself in the mirror. And it took me a month to look at myself in the mirror. A month.
It's the hardest thing to do sometimes.
Exactly. A month of doing it every day.
Yeah.
And then I could look at myself in the eye and be like, oh, wow, look at me.
All right.
And then
cool.
I started with the I like you, Mixie. I like you, Mixie. 6 months, you know?
Seriously. It's
and
the
then like another 8 months
thing,
for
real.
I love you, Michelle. I love you, Michelle. And now I can look in a mirror and say, I love you, Michelle. You rock. You know, and
that's so important, though. It is like Stuart Smalley, but it's true. There was truth in that SNL skit. I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And gosh darn it, people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was like, that's.
I never worry if people like me anymore. I'm so loud and obnoxious. I know I'm not for everyone.
I stopped caring late 30s, definitely 40. I was like,
yeah. We have to have like a over 40.
We need to have our like Gen X Strikes Back.
Oh my episode. God. Yeah. That'd be dope. Yeah. Guys, if you hear anything we're suggesting in any episode, please, I could always, come, let's do round tables. We
don't always have to do
one on ones. Yeah. I want to get like past people on the show and
do
have
like
them
Gen
a
X round table go.
Fuck yeah. Oh my God.
I'm jumping in for that.
I will wear my Betsy Johnson.
I will put my docs on.
Yeah.
I'll take one of my vintage
Betsy's. Oh, that's another thing. I know.
I
that's
still
my
have my Doc Martens from 96
that I bought
in the UK. Yeah.
Oh my God. That's awesome. That's another thing.
Yeah.
I know that's my phrase, but like, so when I was 18, 19, you know, and the Betsy Johnson boutiques were in the mall and
shit.
Oh,
yeah.
And my friend, I worked at Tower Records where you could wear whatever you want. We had all these awesome new punks and.
RIP, I miss Tower Records almost daily.
Oh, yeah.
I was a big Tower shopper. So the fact that you worked at one, I want to like hug you and be like, thank you for your service.
Yay. I did all the bad stuff that accompanies one when working at Tower Records, but I didn't dress the part. I just dressed normally.
Mm.
That's another thing. After I lost weight, I could dress like me finally.
Yeah.
And I wore the fuck. All I do now is buy vintage Betsy John. Not as much anymore, but. I was so envious of my friend who worked for the Betsy Johnson boutique. And she had all these amazing clothes. And then all the bitches on Friends wore Betsy Johnson all the time. I'm like, you know, if I get compared to Phoebe, I should be wearing Betsy Johnson. And so after I lost all the weight, I went on Etsy and bought vintage Betsy's.
That's
and
awesome.
And I have like 10 of them now. And it's awesome. And I could be the Phoebe me all the
Phoebe
time.
That you were meant to be.
Yes, I have. I have one Betsy Johnson that mirrors something. I have a couple Betsy's that mirror things Lisa Kudrow has worn on the show.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I had a lot of friends who wore Betsy and I was so jealous.
Oh my God. Yeah. Imagine Betsy again.
She actually started to make plus size clothes and I have a dress now.
Oh, yay. I heard she came back.
Or her brand, or I don't know how much she helms it, but
yeah.
So there were a few options, not
she's
as much
cameo.
As,
maybe we should cameo her.
That would be awesome, actually.
Call it her open her lady mouth.
Yeah, seriously. Because I got a lot of her purses and sunglasses. I got a lot of her jewelry. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I have so much Betsy. She's my favorite designer.
Yeah.
She was the 90s Gen X girl.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Her and Betsy
and Docs.
Yeah.
I mean, classic.
So I do have a dress.
What does it look like?
It's black or like a dark navy with little polka dots. And it's kind of like has an empire waist and a little like sequin cherry thing right here on the belt line.
Cute.
Like a sequin cherry, like applique.
Yeah.
It's cute. I mean, what's crazy is I still haven't worn it and I bought it last year.
Oh.
Because I was going to wear it to work and then I didn't. And then everything happened.
Well, just wear it for you now. That's thing, guys.
I'm going to go grocery shopping tomorrow.
Yes, you should. I've totally celebrated that aspect of losing weight. I will wear anything anywhere. I want to dress up. I'm going to dress up. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I've been getting out of t-shirts lately. I've been like trying to just wear more feminine things, more dresses.
Well, I brought all my summer dresses are out, and then I haven't put a lot of them on because I wasn't doing anything. And I was like, I went and got my allergy shots. I went and got my allergy shots a couple weeks ago and I put on like one of my favorite summer dresses. I was like, meh, let's get dressed up to get my allergy shots. And everyone else is like, oh, you look cute. That's fun. And I was like, I was wearing too many pajamas. I'm like, I had to put a dress on to see you guys today.
Even t-shirts these days, I'm like, I want to dress up more now.
Yeah, it makes you feel good. My dad, that's something my dad used to say that I always liked. He'd say, if you don't feel good, dress up and it'll help you. He's like, put on something nice. You might feel, his mom would say that. So I remember he'd said that to me before. And it's always in my head. He's like, if you're feeling a little like bad or bummed out or not so good, he's like, put something on that makes you happy. And it kind of like pops the mood up.
But yeah, that's put on a dress wonderful sentiment. Wear a dress.
Yeah.
Especially for wrapping up this episode, which I'm sorry, I have to hobbit out of here.
No, hobbit it up because I gotta pee and get my water's empty.
Like
I need
night
more.
Night breakfast time.
Yeah.
Night breakfast.
night breakfast. That could be the name of your radio
breakfast.
Show if
oh,
you
I'm
did like
make
pirate
eggs
radio.
And cheese for night breakfast. Yum.
Good.
Eggs and cheese.
Eggs and cheese.
Or egg and cheese. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode of Lady Mouth.
Thank you for having me on again.
Oh, my God. I want you on a million more times.
I'll be here.
My God, you're my only hope, Allie.
No.
Help me, Allie Wan. You're my only hope.
Oh, Allie Wan. May the force be with you, too. You could call me that.
Allie Wan.
Go for it.
You're going to make Ed call you that in bed?
He probably would. He'd laugh and do it.
You guys
I'm
definitely
hilarious.
Say I know and I love you to each other.
Yeah.
Yay. All right. Thank you, everybody. Allie, thank you. I love you.
I love you too.
Thank
Thanks,
you
girl.
For talking us today. Yay.
Good morrow, mine kiotes. Tis I, your once and future pal, Almatty. Through fortuitous wheeling and or dealing, Almatty bamboozled, hoodwinked, and duped himself an official That's Not Canon Productions podcast. Delicious Word Sandwich, the only podcast that transforms literary readables into scrumptious edibles, and the only literature podcast ever made, probably. Get a questionable recipe and an impeccable book breakdown all in one by the month as Almatty reviews a New Yorker short story, shares some advice from the almighty titan and Almatty's idol, Ernest Hemingway, then finally transforms every element of classic novels into ingredients. Example, Marvel as I turn the Maltese Falcon's cynical characters into smoky bitter cheese, and its hard-boiled plot into an egg. Shell included. All the while, Delicious Word Sandwich chronicles old Maddie's madcap misadventures, in which he conquers death. So be sure to catch Delicious Word Sandwich on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, and in your demonically possessed spaghetti. Until then, farewell, my kiotes.
A That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
Oh, wait one second. Morgan is making her own Cheerios right now. Go, go, go.
No.
Sorry.
It's okay.
We don't want her to pour the milk.
That's not,